De Erasmusprijs, een Europese, een Nederlandse prijs voor een Amerikaans componist, dat voelt bijzonder eervol.
Yes, of course, it's a very special prize. It's a great honor. And it's particularly an honor to be an American and be recognized in Holland.
En Nederlandse muzici zijn het beste van allemaal. Dat was al destijds in de jaren 80 met het Schönberg Ensemble en het is nog steeds zo.
I think I love making music with Dutch musicians probably more than anyone else in the world. They are, first of all, fantastic musicians. We have great teaching here. So all of the performers that I've worked with are not only virtuosos, but they click. They know what I want, and they have a wonderful sense of rhythm. I started performing here with the what used to be the Schönberg Ensemble, now it's the Asko Schönberg Ensemble, way back in the 80s. And then I conducted the Concertgebouw in the early 90s. And since then, I've been coming almost every other year to do concerts in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, Nederland, waar Adams een speciale band mee heeft. Veel van zijn werken gingen hier voor de eerste keer. En ooit was er die Nederlander die als chef in San Francisco hem op weg hielp door een compositieopdracht te verlenen.
Edo de Waard is a dear friend. I live just outside of San Francisco. And when I first met him, he was the music director of the San Francisco Symphony. He succeeded Seiji Ozawa. And I was a completely unknown young composer at the time, and he recognized me, and he gave me my first commission and performed the first major orchestral work that I ever wrote, a work called Harmonium. And I owe him a great deal of gratitude. But I also just enjoy his musicianship and him as a person.
De jury van de Erasmusprijs is vol lof over Adams zijn muzikaliteit, maar ook over zijn engagement. Zeker zijn muziektheaterwerk ademt een grote betrokkenheid. Zoals Nixon in China over politiek, The Death of Klinghoffer over terrorisme, maar ook El Niño met een sterke vrouwelijke stem. Die betrokkenheid begon in de jaren 60. Vietnam dreef een wig in de Amerikaanse maatschappij, eigenlijk zoals het land ook nu verdeeld is onder Trump.
I was in college during the Vietnam War, and of course, you know, this was nearly tore the American society apart. It was a really terrible war. It made us as Americans ashamed of ourselves and. It's come all the way around now. 50 years later, we're in another situation where many Americans are ashamed of our behavior in the world.
En dat houdt hem bezig. Heimwee naar Obama. Maar de geschiedenis bewijst, alles gaat voorbij. Ook deze periode met de gangsters aan het roer.
Well, of course it bothers me, especially coming from a time not too long ago when we had Barack Obama. Who was a man of great intelligence and sensitivity and modesty, I have to say. But if you read history, you know, you see that whether it's Rome or the Netherlands or Great Britain or France, you know, there are periods of high achievement and high pride, and then periods when gangsters are in control.
John Adams wist al op zijn tiende dat hij componist wilde worden, dankzij die juf op school die voorlas over Mozart. Een jochie met een poster van Sibelius aan de muur. Ach, dit is weer wat anders dan voetbalplaatjes. En het is allemaal goed gekomen met hem.
Well, you know, some kids have pictures of baseball stars or football stars or movie stars, and I had Jan Sibelius. I think if it were my son, I'd be a little anxious, but I turned out okay.
Hoe zou hij zijn componeerstijl omschrijven? Het begon met het minimalisme, maar gaandeweg wilde hij toch meer gevoel in zijn muziek leggen. Een goed beeld geeft Harmonie leren uit 1985, door Edo de Waard voor het eerst gebracht en in maart in het Concertgebouw te horen. Met nog sporen van dat minimalisme, maar ook Amerikaanse popmuziek is altijd aanwezig.
You can see that right from my earliest pieces, a work like Harmonie Lehre, which I'll be conducting at the Concertgebouw in March. It's a work that Ato DeVart premiered in 1985, but I think it's an interesting piece because it shows the traces of minimalism, but also my love of you know, the classical music of the past, particularly the Romantic era. Another element that's very strong in my music is American popular music. So, you know, there's a strong sense of beat.
En natuurlijk altijd de jazz. Misschien wel door Duke Ellington, die hij ooit zag spelen in de zaak van zijn opa. Hij zat naast hem op de pianokruk. De klank van Ellington hoor je terug in sommige van de composities van Adams, zoals in A Short Ride in a Fast Machine.
My grandfather owned a dance hall. During the summers, he would invite the big bands to come through. Count Basie and Dorsey Brothers, it was in my grandfather's dance hall that I heard Duke Ellington, and I actually was able to go up and sit down on the piano bench with him while he was directing the band. I think that the way Ellington wrote for the way he orchestrated for his band had a big influence in me. The way he used brass instruments, wonderful energy of the music certainly had an influence. And in a piece, I have a short orchestra piece called Short Ride in the Fast Machine, which is probably my most performed piece. You hear those brass, I call them bullets. They're just like stabs of sound that I got the idea from Ellington.
Stel, we maakten een lijst Adams voor Dummies. Welke stukken mag je echt niet missen? Ja, dat is natuurlijk hetzelfde als een vader vragen welk kind hem het liefst is.
Well, that's difficult. It's like asking a father, you know, who's your favorite child? I would say for somebody who does not know my music and is not, you know, doesn't listen to contemporary music all the time, that Short Ride in the Fast Machine would be a good starting point, simply because it's short and it's an accessible piece. I'm very fond of still of Nixon in China, which is now 35 years old or so.
Your flight was smooth, I hope. Oh yes, smooth.
But there are more recent pieces that I like very much, a piece I composed about 6 or 7 years ago called Absolute Jest, which is an interesting piece because I used tiny fragments from Beethoven string quartets and sort of I put them in a Cuisinart, you know, mixed them up set them for a symphony orchestra. That's a good piece. I also am very fond of a piece I wrote in 2000 called El Niño, which I conducted at the Concertgebouw not too long ago. And that is that's my own Messiah. It's an oratorio that tells the story of the birth of Christ. But the texts, which were chosen by Peter Sellers in a wonderfully imaginative way, are by all kinds of poets, including a lot of women poets from Latin America. You know, when it comes to telling the story of the birth of Christ, traditional sources are men, you know, the Gospels. And Peter and I thought, well, it's possible that women might have something to say about the experience of birth.
De naam Beethoven viel al. Ooit nam John Adams zich voor de Amerikaanse Beethoven te worden. Ach, hij was jong.
Well, I was a very young person before I understood just how good Beethoven was.
Maar toch, hij is goed op weg. Het lastige is dat alle meeste werken al zijn geschreven. Een beetje zoals nu het zoeken naar goud niets meer zou opleveren. Mahler, Debussy, Stravinsky, het is er allemaal al. Het goud is al gevonden. Origineel zijn is moeilijk. Beethoven staat altijd over je schouder mee te kijken. Dat is best lastig, maar hij slaagt er nog steeds in nieuwe dingen te maken.
I'm 72 now and I know that I'm a runner-up for sure. You know, it's very funny. I wrote an autobiography about 10 years ago called Hallelujah Junction, and in the last chapter, I talked about what it's like being a classical composer in our age, when all the masterpieces seem to have been written, and I likened it. I've sort of made a metaphor of the gold rush, the California gold rush, when people got there in 1849, there was gold everywhere. And now, if you go up into the mountains, as I often do, you'll see some amateur gold prospectors, but there's basically no gold left. And there is a sense in which tonal harmony and all the tools that made classical music so wonderful, whether it's Mahler or Debussy or Stravinsky or Bach, all that period that lasts about 250 years, that it's, you know, all the gold's been been discovered. And it doesn't mean, you know, that things can't be made that are original now. It's just that we live and work in the context of greatness. You know, there's always Beethoven standing behind me. Nonetheless, I think because I've drawn from a lot of contemporary music, from jazz and all kinds of popular art forms, that I've been able to continue to say something that is new and fresh.
Tot slot nog een tip voor jonge componisten. Vooral doen. Zijn eigen zoon is ook componist geworden. Dat was even schrikken voor zijn ouders. Maar hoe mooi om in een tijd waarin alles om geld en materiële zaken draait, voor kunst te kiezen. Hij luistert dan ook graag naar jonge mensen die weg willen gaan.
You know, my son is a composer. You know, when he, at the age of 20, told his mother and me that, you know, he didn't want to be an architect, which is what he thought he did, that he really wanted to be a composer. We were shocked, but then we're full of admiration, because it's rare in this society, particularly in American society. All the messages you get as a kid is about money, about technology, about sports, about a kind of aggressive materialistic culture, and there's so few models for to be a deep thinking creative person. Mm-hmm. So when I meet a young person, a 10 or 12 or 16 or 18 year old, who wants to show me their compositions, or who wants to be a painter or write poetry, I think that is such an extraordinary thing, and I'm so deeply grateful for it.